As we begin, may I invite everyone to please open your Bible sa aklat po ng Obadiah, that is in between the book of Amos and Jonah. See, Obadiah po is considered one of the minor prophets sa Old Testament. Mga kaibigan, in a world where human pride is celebrated, lauded, viewed as strength, framed as human rights, privilege masquerades itself as skill, pride is being mastered to retain and gain power, authority, and at times arm to terrorize others. The question is, where do God's word, his authority, and sovereignty stands? Where do God's word, his authority, and sovereignty stands? Does God keep silent to pride and proud's work? Does he care for the oppressed? Will he allow proud to go prosper or go unpunished? Will he abandon his people? Will he abandon the righteous? When will he act? Or will I able to see the justice or his justice served sa buhay ko if I am suffering? Or will I ever see his justice again? I began, marahil these are some of the theological questions we ask when we witness the devastating effect of human pride or of our pride. These very questions are the questions that the Israelites wrestled when they witnessed the destruction of Jerusalem in 586 BC. Bilang disiplina po sa kanila ng Panginoon. God raised Babylon to subject them sa kanyang judgment, sa kanyang disiplina. When Jerusalem fell, Edom, their neighbor and close relative, turned blind eye and didn't come to their aid. Instead of helping, yung ginawa po ng Edom or Edomites, they rejoiced and participated in ransacking the city. In response, God raised Prophet Obadiah to deliver his message to them. But we know na hindi po dito nagsimula yung hostility between these two neighboring countries, yung magkapatid na ito, between them. But it runs deep that we can trace it back sa aklat po ng Genesis. Napag-aralan po natin yung Genesis a few weeks ago. Nakita po natin yung history ng bansang ito. Even before they were born, nakita rin po natin that God revealed to Rebecca that the twins that she conceived would be a great nation. Makikita po natin yan in Genesis 25:23. And sabi doon, the younger would be stronger than the older, while the older will serve the younger. God chose Jacob to be the covenant head, not on the basis of his good works, but because of God's grace sa kanyang buhay. As Jacob and Esau grow, nakita din po natin how pride and hostility and rivalry exist between sa kanila. Mababasa natin in Genesis 35 that the Lord blessed Jacob and changed his name into Israel. God made him a great nation. As God promised to Abraham, his father, na gagawin niya na great nation, he will be as many as the sands and stars of the sky. In Genesis 36, makikita din po natin how the Lord blessed Esau as Abraham's offspring. Esau became Edom and the father of Edomites. Though nakita din po natin naman nakaraang linggo na may reconciliation between these brothers, but their distance or descendants did not move on. The hostility continues. In fact, makita po natin when God rescued yung Israelites out from Egypt, yung ginawa po ng mga Edomites ay they did not permit a passage or deny a passage yung mga Israelites. They even threatened them that if they would attempt, they will get slaughtered. In 2 Chronicles 21 and 28, chapter 21 and 28, mababasa din po natin doon yung record how the Edomites revolted against Israel's king. But the final blow that leads to their destruction, and the most probable context po ng aklat na aralin natin, is when Babylon's invasion of Jerusalem. At yung ginawa po ng mga Edomites, put a stump sa kanilang destiny. This is where, makita po natin that this is where their pride leads them. And with this in mind, let me ask this question to us this morning. Friends, what kind or source of our pride that hinders us from submitting to the authority of His sovereign and righteous God? What kind or what are the source of our pride? The source of our pride that hinders us from submitting to authority ng sovereign at righteous na Diyos. As we try to identify or put a name on that this morning, by God's grace, let me remind us, and this will be our main point sa umagang ito, that the righteous God exposes the sinfulness of human pride and judges it under His sovereign authority. The righteous God exposes the sinfulness of human pride and judges it under His sovereign authority. I have divided po yung passage natin into two parts. Una po, judgment pronounced. May kita po natin yan in verses 1 to 9. And judgment exposed, yung grounds, yung reason kung bakit i-judge sila ng Panginoon, which covers yung verses 10 to 14. So let's start with our first point. Let's read verse 1. Sabi po dito, in ESV, the vision of Obadiah. Thus says the Lord God concerning Edom, we have heard a report from the Lord, and a messenger has been sent among the nations. Rise up, let us rise against her for battle. Now, kung titingnan po natin yung verse 1, it begins with the simple heading, or yung tinatawag po natin, iba is the superscription. The vision of Obadiah. Or sa Tagalog, nabasa po natin kanina na ang pangitain na pinagkaloob ng Diyos kay Propeta Obadiah. Which is, I think, appropriate rendering po dito. Because although yung book po is attributed sa kay Obadiah the author, we know na yung vision na ito is not byproduct of his own imagination. Hindi po ito produkto ng kanyang nararamdaman. Hindi po ito resulta ng kanyang personal na obserbasyon sa nangyayari sa kanyang paligid. And it is not his own interpretation then, and it is not on his own liberty to interpret yung vision na ito. At marahil, marami po sa atin dito nakarinig or personally have encountered na may mga tao who claims to have a vision from the Lord. Ngunit mahalaga po na maintindihan natin yung vision na ito based sa salita ng Diyos at yung purpose ng Diyos in the Old Testament. Kung titingnan po natin in Hebrew, ang salitang vision po ay chazon, which simply means revelation. What is hidden now revealed. It is the disclosure of God's mind or His authoritative message to His people through His chosen servant. And here, makita po natin na yung servant na ito is si Prophet Obadiah o si Obadiah, whose role rightly fits yung meaning ng kanyang pangalan, which means servant of God. And ang vision po na ito is just one of the various means na ginagamit po ng Diyos to deliver His message sa kanyang through sa kanyang prophet. Mababasa po natin in Numbers chapter 12 verses 6 to 8. That God used visions, He used also dreams, and at times audible voice to make known Himself to a prophet. Meaning, this is a clear message ready for the faithful disposal or proclamation ng kanyang servant. Hindi po ito abstract. Hindi po ito unclear. Hindi po ito na nakabase po sa messenger o sa nakareceive nito to interpret kung ano yung ibig sabihin nun. His message or his role is to declare the message na kanyang nareceive. We can read this in Deuteronomy 18 to 19, nung pinamis ng Panginoon sa kay Moses that He will raise up a prophet like Moses. He will put His word in His mouth, at ang task po ng prophet na ito is to speak everything that God has commanded him. So therefore, this vision po na sinasabi dito sa aklat na ito is God's authoritative word revealed to His prophet to declare to His people and sa kanyang intended na audience. Ngunit in the New Testament, alam po natin that God has revealed to us His complete message through His servant who fulfills the office of the prophets. But He is not just a mere prophet who speaks God's word to His people, but the word became flesh. He did not only preach the word, but He lived it out, even to the point of death, in order that we could come to know the cost of the wages of our sin, that is death, and for us as well, to know the free gift of God towards us, His life. In Hebrews 13, verses 1 and 2, reveals that to us, that Jesus is the fulfillment of the prophets. Sabi doon, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophet. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son. Kung mga kaibigan, yung ordinary means that God is using now to speak to His people is through His inspired, inerrant, and authoritative word, ordinarily declared through the preaching, through the teaching, through the reading, and through the singing of God's word in His gathered congregation. So, bakit po mahalaga na maintindihan po natin yung simpleng superscription na ito? The vision of Obadiah. Perhaps you are asking that. Because it tells us that everything that the prophet Obadiah will speak to us and to his intended audience is not his own words, but God's authoritative words. And hereby, ikita natin that this book, there is one dominant voice. And that voice is the voice of God. Since this is God's word, this also means na walang liberty or freedom ang Edom, including us, to choose which part of this revealed word should apply to us. And which of this ay hindi naman pwede sa atin. We don't have that kind of liberty. But rather, His word invites us to examine our lives, to scrutinize, to reflect, and to respond to this in obedience. This also tells us that God is never silent. And this is exactly yung makikita natin dito, that God will scrutinize, examine Edom under the lens of His revealed word. And friends, this is simply reminds us that God's word should be the basis of our life and our practice. At hindi po according lang sa atin. And that we should constantly check our life by His grace to His revealed word and not on this world. Now, going back po sa verse 1, makikita natin that this vision is directed or concerning to Edom. And here makikita natin how God revealed His authoritative message or word to Edom in three ways. So in some sort, makikita natin how God piles up yung weight ng yung kanyang pag-deliver ng message dito. Now, makikita natin that there are three witnesses sa pag-solidifying that indeed this message, the authoritative message, is from the Lord. In the second line, makikita po ninyo dyan, thus says the Lord God concerning Edom. Makikita natin the word, the message, was declared by a prophet through sa expression po na thus says the Lord. Again, yung role po ng prophet, yung task po ng prophet is to faithfully declare God's word. Yun ang yung gawain niya. To declare God's word. And notice how he described yung Diyos po dito. Sabi niya that he is the Lord God, which in Hebrew means Adonai Yahweh. Expressing to Edom that God is sovereign, that God has the absolute control, and He is in control of all things, including yung Edomites ito. He's simply telling them that Edom, listen to this, because I own you. I own you. Not only that, but He is also Yahweh, the covenant-keeping God, who does not forget but fulfills His promises, including po sa sasabihin niya sa mga Edomites na ito. And as a promise-keeping God, makikita din po natin, and part of it, that God is telling to Edom, Edom, I remember kung ano yung ginawa ninyo. And I remember that I have a covenant with my people. Kaya makikita po ninyo sa third line dyan, that the message was affirmed by His community. His covenant community. We're living, again, they are in exiles in Babylon. But makikita natin dito, it was affirmed by them. And sabi nila, we have heard our report. Mga kaibigan, nagpapakita po ito that God's faithfulness towards them. Yahweh is still speaking and He is still committed sa kanyang mga tao. He is committed to fulfill yung kanyang promise sa kanila. Implying na hindi sila nakakalimutan ng Diyos. And this should encourage us as well, mga kaibigan. This should encourage us to hope in God. Because even in our difficult situation, He still remembers us. And yung last means po na ginamit po ng Diyos po dito to reveal His word is through His commissioned messenger. Sabi dyan, a messenger has been sent among the nation. Now, hindi po natin alam kung whether yung messenger nito is from a heavenly origin or a human messenger, but we can say that he is a representative of Yahweh and he acts on behalf of Yahweh. And here, we can see na yung ginagawa po niya, yung ginagawa po ni Obadiah is to draw our attention sa act po o sa work po ng messenger na ito. And dito, makikita natin na yung pag-appear ng envoy na ito, yung messenger, there's something, there's a motion. There is a movement na nangyari. Makikita po natin na it sets something in motion. It heightens yung message na ito. From prophet to the community, now there is an envoy. And ano yung message na ito? That God is at war with Edom. God is at war with Edom. In prophetic book, yung appearance po ng messenger suggests judgment. And here we can see that the work of the envoy, ng messenger na ito, is he steers the heart of the nation to form a coalition and to prepare for battle against Edom. And yung repeated po na paggamit dito na rise up, rise up. It means urgency. It means now. Rise up, we are going to battle. Mga kaibigan, hindi po ba ganito rin po yung itsura nito if we are in our sins? Ang picture po nito, we are as well at war against God. Kaya hindi nga bago yung sinasabi yung pagkakalarawan ni Paul in Ephesians 2 chapter 3, that prior to our conversion, if you are in Christ, yung description po, po sa atin ng Biblia is that we are or children of wrath. This means po that God is at war sa atin. God is at war against Edom because of their sin. And if you are here, whether you claim as a Christian or not, and you are currently enjoying your sin, the scripture tells us that you are at war against an enemy that is infinitely good, infinitely righteous, and infinitely holy. And this is frightening, mga kaibigan. Because this infinitely good, infinitely righteous, and holy God does not tolerate sin. He is able to crush your soul and put you into eternal damnation. God is at war against them. So I urge you, if you are here, and if you are enjoying your sin right now, I urge you to repent and turn to Jesus for the forgiveness of your sin. Again, here we can see that God is at war against Edom. Not only because they've committed sin against their brother, but ultimately committed it against a holy God. And hear this, their sin or our sin against God has only one determined result. Ano po yan? That is defeat. That is what verse 2 is telling us. Tingnan po natin yung verse 2. Sabi niya, behold, I will make you small among the nations. You shall be utterly despised. Ang salitang behold po dito is a form of invitation. Meaning, see. See this. This is the result of your own work. It is an invitation for Edom to witness yung certainty ng kanilang destruction. At ang destruction po dito na sinasabi is not only yung kanilang numbers that will be cut off or reduced in population, but it includes yung kanilang political na status. Meaning they will be politically insignificant. They will have no power, no influence, and will be disowned to a point that other nations will not recognize them. So how can we be certain sa judgment na ito? Dahil po yung pagkagamit po ng I will make you po dyan is in perfect tense in Hebrew. Implying that this is considered as a done deal. Meaning, it is accomplished already. Because the fact that the ultimate speaker po na nagsasabi dito, the ultimate voice na naririnig po nila is God Himself. So this certain end of sin is not a presumption, but a reality. May kita po natin yan, how this verse has been fulfilled in the book of Malachi, chapter 1, verses 3 to 4. How God fulfills yung kanyang sinabi sa kanila. This is 150 years later nung isinulat po ito. Let me read to you Malachi chapter 1, verses 3 to 4. Sabi doon, I have laid waste his, this is Edom, his hill country and left his heritage to jackals of the desert. If Edom says, we are shattered, but we will rebuild the ruins. The Lord of hosts says, they may rebuild, but I will tear down. They will be called a wicked country and a people with whom the Lord is angry forever. But the question is, why was God so committed to doing this? Look at verse 3a. Ano sabi po dyan? That the pride of your heart has deceived you. Well, let us be clear na hindi po ito nangangahulugan that they were a victim of their own pride. But instead, yung sinasabi po dito that they have a heart that overflows with and boiling over with arrogance. Mayabang po yung bansang ito. Edom falsely, yung false perception nila sa kanilang sarili leads them to think that they are self-sufficient. They are self-sufficient in a point that they are willing to reject God's authority. They are willing to reject godly wisdom sa kanila. They even falsely appropriate the glory that only belongs to God sa kanilang sarili. And friends, pride is a mockery to God's sovereignty. Pride is a mockery to God's sovereignty. It is an act of treason which brings one to think that he can govern his own self and there is no need of God sa kanyang buhay, dethroning him from God's rightful throne and replacing yung ating sarili on that. Now this is a lie po, mga kaibigan. A deception. Because that belief is based on one's own feeling lang. Own interpretation. Own perception. And not on the reality of God's word. Or the reality of God Himself. Kung titingnan po natin yung salita ng Diyos, God's word reveals to us the opposite. His word tells us that He is the creator and we are created. His word tells us that we are created for His glory and not for our own glory. Friends, if you don't believe that, you are already deceiving yourself. You are not the God of your own life. Sabi nga ng Puritan preacher and theologian na si Jonathan Edwards, he described yung pride as this, as the worst viper that is in the heart and the most hidden, secret, and deceitful of all lust. Totoo po ito, hindi po ba? Dahil pride, at times, or many times, it's difficult to spot. It often hides and it masquerades itself in good things. But in whatever forms pride might appear, it has only one end, only one goal. And that goal is self-glorification. Dahil ako ito. Ganun po parate yung goal ng pride. This is exactly what yung nararamdaman po ng mga Edomites. The pride of their heart made them believe that they are invincible to anyone's eyes. They even think of themselves that they are great and they are safely and comfortably sitting in the glory of their own kingdom, enjoying what they have built para sa kanilang sarili. Pero tingnan po natin kung saan ba nanggagaling yung pride po ng bansang ito. At ano yung magiging response ng Diyos sa kanila. Look at verse 3 again, 3b. Sabi dyan, you who live in the cliffs of the rock, in your lofty dwellings, who says in your heart, who will bring me to the ground? Kung kayo po nakapunta sa Jabil Jais, o sa Jabil Hafit, perhaps you appreciate po yung overlooking na scenery po doon. In like manner, yung Edom po was blessed with impenetrable location. They live in a rocky mountain surrounded with deep and steep po na mga cliffs. And yung narrow path, there's only one narrow path leading papunta po sa kanilang kingdom. At kung ikaw po ay nakatira noon o nabubuhay noon, and in their time, this is an advantage po sa ancient warfare. To be on a higher ground is a huge advantage. They can easily scout po yung kanilang surroundings, and when enemy attempts to attack them, they can easily frustrate yung kanilang mga kaaway. Po, titingnan po natin with what God has blessed them. It becomes a symbol of their pride. They replace God with what God has blessed them. And appropriate po yung kanilang safety, yung security na binibigay sa kanila, hindi sa Diyos, kundi sa kanilang location. Their presumptuous sense of security even lead them na magyabang to anyone who hears it. Who will bring me down? Who will bring me to the ground? Mga kaibigan, marahil hindi po natin sinasabi ito publicly, but deep down in our hearts, we too place our security on the things that God has blessed us, rather sa Kanya. Marahil ito po ay sa ating career, sa ating trabaho, sa edukasyon na meron tayo, our family, in ministry, perhaps a property po na napundar ninyo. Wealth, in relationships, in connections that we have sa trabaho. Perhaps sa ating health, or sa physique, sa looks po natin. And slowly, unknowingly, we are leaning towards trusting those things rather than sa Diyos. No, maabot tayo sa punto that I am secured. I am superior because I have all of these things. But what if God would take some of it? What if God would take all of it? How would you respond sa Kanya? Would you question His goodness sa buhay mo? Would you doubt His love? Would you tell Him that He is unfair? I ask this question because God is able to do that. Notice po kung ano yung response po ng Diyos sa proud nation ito in verse 4. Sabi po dyan, though you soar like eagles, though your nest is set among the stars, from there I will bring you down, declares the Lord. Napagamit po dito ng imagery ng eagle, isuportray po yung strength and superiority na nararamdaman po ng bansang ito. They think that they are superior to everyone. While yung nesting among the stars po is to exaggerate yung feeling na nararamdaman po nila. No one can bring me down. Thinking that they are inaccessible and free from any harm. Which shows yung excessive pride and trust po nila sa kanilang sarili. And this is always what pride makes us feel, hindi po ba? An excessive trust sa ating sarili. Sa ating galing. But friends, makikita natin dito that when God decides to confront and judge our pride, when God decides to confront Edom's pride, There is no lofty dwellings, nor formidable fortress, nor military advantage, nor narrow path can stop the sovereign God. Same thing po sa atin. No education, no property, no health, no physique can stop the sovereign God. When God decides, He will do it. Because this is a good reminder po sa atin that there is no form of any advantage that we have that can save us or hides us from the reach of a sovereign God. When He decides to confront us from the area in our life that we have excessive trust sa ating sarili, we cannot escape that. When He calls us to give an account sa Kanya, everything that we consider right now a source of our security cannot shield us from His judgment. For whatever we consider as a source of our security, from there, He will bring us down. And we can clearly see this in verses 5 to 9. How God will judge and even exhaust yung presumptuous source ng security and pride po ng Edom. In verse 5, makikita natin that God through Obadiah begins with rhetorical questions. Yung questions po nito, yung rhetorical question na ito is designed na ipakita po yung partial effect na pwedeng gawin ng mga plunderers, sa mga thieves in comparison sa judgment na matatanggap nila in verse 6. Sabi dyan in verse 5, if thieves came to you, if plunderers came by night, how have you been destroyed? Would they not steal only enough for themselves? If grapes gatherers came to you, would they not only leave gleanings? Again, yung idea po dito that when thieves and plunderers come, they come in secret. They come with a limited time, which is yung mentioned po dyan ng night. And when they move in, they move fast. Hindi po sila pwedeng manatili na matagal kasi mabibisto, mahuhuli sila. And dahil po dyan, they carry what only their hands can bring. While yung grape gatherers naman dyan cannot perfectly gather po yung fruits. Since baka yung iba hindi nila nakikita, yung iba medyo hilaw pa, or yung iba is luto na. But yung idea po dito is hindi lahat nakukuha nila. But unlike this two or three, the one who will execute yung judgment and the one who gathers and sends yung nation against Edom will strip them of every source of their confidence. Every source ng kanilang pride. He will strip them off with everything that they consider source ng kanilang security. Same thing po sa atin. Look at verse 6, ang sinasabi dyan. How Esau has been pillaged, his treasure sought out. The first thing that God will strip them off is their wealth. Ang salitang sought out po dito emphasize the idea na thorough searching. God will leave no significant treasure that could sustain yung treasury ng nation na ito. And when that happens, they will get collapse. Paano ito mangyayari? May kita po ninyo yung paggamit ng pangalan po ni Esau dyan. And yung possessive pronoun na his, yung paggamit po niyan signifies yung scale na pag-strip off po ng Diyos sa kanilang wealth. That each person will have no ability to possess any significant amount sa kanilang mga kamay. But not only that, God will also strip them off, hindi lang ng kanilang wealth, but ng kanilang allies and covenant partners. Look at verse 7. Sabi dyan, all their allies have driven you out of your border. Those at peace with you have deceived you. They have been prevailed against you. Those have eaten your bread have set a trap beneath you. You have no understanding. Though, sabi po natin kanina, though ang Edom po was blessed with geographical territory, which makes it an advantage para sa warfare, ngunit yung military po nila is weak. They only have a small population. And since they are living in a rocky mountains, agriculturally po, hindi po sila ganun kayaman. Which impacts yung ability nila to produce yung kanilang solid na military unit. And to compensate po ito, yung ginagawa po nila is they form alliances with strong nations. And one of which is yung Babylon. They believe and trusted on their alliances that yung mention po ng eating of bread po dito and sharing of meals symbols yung unity pact between them. But the very alliance, as sinasabi nila dyan, that they sought out for themselves is the very trap that God would use against them. That unknowingly, this would lead sa kanilang destruction. So why would this happen? Look at verse 6. Because God will not only strip them with their wealth, God will not only strip them with their allies and their covenants, but verse 8, God will strip them with wisdom. Sabi dyan, will I not on that day, declares the Lord, destroy the wise men out of Edom and the understanding out of Mount Esau? Yung salitang on that day na pinapakita po di or nabanggit po dito is one of the theme ng aklat po ng Obadiah or mostly ng mga 12 prophets. And it points us to eschatological reality or yung tinatawag po natin na end times. But here, yung paggamit po dito is pointing to the event ng destruction po ng bansang ito. Well, on that day, when their supposed alliances with great nations will betray them. Yan po yung sinasabi dyan. God will remove their wise men or leaders. God will remove the wisdom and the ability from them to discern and make good decisions and make them disoriented and helpless. Which makikita po natin in effect in verse 9. Ano sinasabi sa verse 9? And your mighty men shall be dismayed, O Timan, so that the man from the Mount Esau will be cut off. Yung Edomites po, including yung kanilang city na Timan, is well known sa kanilang wisdom. Kung maalala ninyo yung kaibigan ni Job, na si Eliphaz, a Timanite, he is from the land of Edom. But makikita po natin, since wisdom was stripped off from them, removed from them, from their leaders, might would mean nothing. Might would mean nothing. Kaibigan, with those things that God stripped them off, pinapakita po sa atin dito the effect when in our pride, we disregard God and godly wisdom. Our open rebellion against God and our false trust in the security of our own wealth, in our own relationship, wisdom, in our own strength means nothing. When God, the God of wisdom, who is rich in power and mighty in strength, opposes us and strips away every source of our pride. Kung mangyayari po yan, lahat yan can do nothing. You see, when pride comes first, then all good senses, wisdom, logical thinking, reasoning leave us. And what comes after is destruction. Pinalalahanan po tayo niyan ng aklat ng Proverbs. In Proverbs 16, verse 18. Yung sabi doon, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. But why this much judgment? What is the reason why the historical Edom received this? Tingnan po natin yung ating second point. Judgment exposed. The second point po natin, makikita natin dito yung grounds, yung mga evidences of Edom's crime at bakit hahatulan sila ng Diyos. Verse 10, sabi ni John, because of the violence done to you, to your brother, Jacob, shame shall cover you and you shall be cut off. Ano yung grounds na sinasabi dyan? Because of their violence to their brother Jacob. The mention of Israel's forefather Jacob is a reminder para po sa kay Edom na kanilang close affinity and blood ties. Magkapatid po sila. At marahil to remind him of his failure to submit to what God has called him to do. Again, going back to Genesis 25 to 23, God revealed to Rebekah that the older, that is Edom, shall serve the younger. But here, in Edom's pride and continued refusal to this, led him not only to be his brother's, not to be his brother's keeper, but an enemy, inflicting yung violence again sa kanila. Sa scripture po, yung violence is treated as an offense against God. It is an offense against God regardless po ng status ng isang tao. Since all of us are created as image bearer of God. And here, Edom's pride or prideful refusal to acknowledge God and His word resulted in their violence against their brother. But what they thought was a simple rivalry of a sibling is in a greater scale an offense against God. In like manner, friends, this means that every violent thought, every violent act, every violent and malicious words that we speak or think against a ibang tao is not just simply an offense against them, but in a greater scale, it is an offense against God. Now notice yung consequence para sa mga Edomites po dito. Again, sabi dyan, shame will cover you and you shall be cut off. You see that? The historical Edom will face permanent disgrace, a permanent destruction as God's judgment sa kanila. Edom will no longer exist as a nation. So what is the implication of this sa atin? Simply implied na yung violence and injustices done to us or by us and a willful refusal to repent from it guarantees God's judgment. He will not tolerate that and we can trust sa kanyang gagawin na judgment ko sa atin. And if you are here and you have committed po this sin against others, the violence against others, I urge you to repent. Now in verses 11 to 14 naman, we will see yung evidence po of Edom's crime against Israel. Makikita po natin kung paano initemize ng Diyos through sa kay Prophet Obadiah. Now, kung titingnan po natin, ginamit po ito ng Panginoon to convict Edom of their crime. Obadiah presents po yung scenario dito, kung babasahin po ninyo, at maraming nagtataka po kayo bakit yung pagkagamit niya is in a future tense. Yun po yung pagkakapresent dyan. Well, yung ginagamit po ni Obadiah dito is to show them and even to us yung incapability po natin to keep God's command, His revealed word. Yung mga do not po dito is to convict them that they have truly failed to keep that. Look at verse 11. Sabi dyan, on that day, you stood aloof. On that day, that strangers carried off his wealth and foreigners entered his gates and cast lots for Jerusalem, you were like one of them. Now here, Obadiah is recalling yung previous event when Babylon ransacked yung city na Jerusalem. And some of the common practices ng mga Babylonians or ng mga kingdoms ng ancient Near East, whenever they successfully conquered the city, isa po dyan is they loot yung wealth. Yung best of the city. Remember yung story ni Daniel? That's part of it. Some, they would set up yung throne nila sa city gates to announce the new presence ng hari. Or there is a new king. That is to announce to the town, hey, there is new king. We have the overall control of your city. And then, they would divide yung kingdom sa kanilang mga vassals or sa kanilang mga servants. And here, ito po yung makikita po natin in verse 11. And while lahat po ng ito nangyayari, Edom did nothing. They were standing on the other side, standing and acting as strangers. Yung repetition po na on that day po dyan emphasizes yung intentional, hindi lang intentional, but strategic action ng Edom in anticipation of inflicting future damage sa Israel. So, meaning this is not just a passive action, but an intentional and planned. They were there standing and waiting for the opportunity para sa kanilang sarili. Kailan kami makakastrike? They were there standing, watching the Babylonians do the dirty work for them. Friends, in like manner, in what way do we intentionally and strategically being passive sa mga injustices na nangyayari sa ating trabaho o sa eskwelahan o sa community because it benefits us? In what way we intentionally and strategically being passive sa injustice at work kasi baka maapektuhan yung promotion ko? Nakialam ako. So, ngunit, may kita po natin sa passage natin, ngunit, yung mga Edomites, hindi lang natiling nakatayo at tahimik. According to verse 12, they were enjoying sa kanilang nakikita. Sabi nila, but do not gloat over the day of your brother in the day of his misfortune. Do not rejoice over the people of Judah in the day of their ruins. Do not boast in the day of distress. So, hindi lamang po itong simpleng rejoicing. But this is evil rejoicing. Yung repetition po dyan na do not, again, is a literary style ni Obadiah to convict them that they have failed to do that. They have failed to keep yung command sa kanila ng Panginoon. Therefore, they stand guilty dito. And Obadiah describes how Edom's evil rejoicing in three ways. Nakikita natin yung gloat or sa New King James Version, yung pagagamit po dyan is to gaze. To gaze or yung tipong titig na mayabang. Ganun po yung ginagawa nila dito. To gloat means a feeling of satisfaction on another person's failure. Ang next po, to describe po yung kanilang evil rejoicing, is yung word na rejoice. And evil exaltation. Yes. And yung last one is boasting. They speak about it. If you're going to open your Bible in Psalm 137, verse 7, yung psalmist po clearly describe yung feeling, yung attitude po ng Edom dito. Sabi po doon, "Remember, O Lord, against the Edomites, the day of Jerusalem, how they said, 'Lay it bare, down to its foundation.' They felt satisfied on what they are seeing. They rejoice in it exceedingly. They were speaking about it, cheering and celebrating sa nangyayari sa kanilang kapatid. Crossroads, we are also called to rejoice with those who rejoice. But the point of our rejoicing is not the demise of our brothers and sisters in Christ. But our rejoicing flows from knowing how the Lord has brought triumph to them over their sin, over sickness, over troubles na kanilang pinagdadaanan. Mga kaibigan, when we rejoice and casually laugh sa mga grievous sins ng ating mga kapatid, as if we're treating it as a joke or a silly action, we act like Edom. We rejoice over the certainty of their demise. Sin is no joke. Neither the troubles na nararamdaman po ng ating mga kapatid. Instead of rejoicing, we are called to mourn with those who mourn. We are to mourn when someone is in sin. We are to mourn when someone lost a loved one. We are to mourn when someone struggled with problems. We are to mourn when they have a hard time dealing with their children, with their loved ones, with their spouse, dealing at their work. We are to mourn with them, but not just simply mourn. We are also called to pray. And this is the loving thing that we can do for them and for one another bilang isang community. Oh friends, may we not become like Edomites who rejoice in the demise of their brothers. Now in verse 13, notice yung movement na nangyayari dito. Kung yung verse 12, they were just standing aloof, rejoicing from afar. And now here, we can see that they are getting their own hands do the crime, do the dirty work. Look at verse 13. "Do not enter the gate of my people in the day of the calamity. Do not gloat over his disaster in the day of his calamity. Do not loot his wealth." Here we can read, finally, Edom came. Probably after a large number ng Babylonian armies left and plunder po yung city. But the point is, Edom came. Or Edomites came. Ngunit, ang problema po dito ay hindi po sila dumating para tumulong. But to take advantage of the situation. Yung repeated po na in that day of disaster and calamity po dito expresses yung undesirable na sitwasyon ng kanilang mga kapatid. At marahil, at some point, makaka-relate po tayo dito. Dahil sa mga nangyari noong mga nakaraan, hindi po ba? We have at least witnessed yung devastating effect economically. Nahihirapan po yung bansa. We can see yung effect physically, yung physical structure sa isang bansa. And add to that, yung takot po sa mga tao. But here, instead po na tumulong at naawa sila, yung ginawa po ng mga Edomites, they felt satisfied sa kanilang nakita. And took advantage yung vulnerability na kanilang mga kapatid. At sa pilitang kinuha yung mga yaman ng mga ito. Which explains yung thorough na judgment, kung babalikan po natin sa taas, yung gagawin sa kanila ng Panginoon. By searching out all their wealth and cut off. Here, probably, hindi lamang po yung treasure yung kinuha nila, but some portions din ng mga territory. Mga kaibigan, in what way do we take advantage of the weakness at saka yung vulnerability ng ating mga kapatiran for our own benefit. The scripture calls us in Psalm 82 verse 4 to rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hands of the wicked. Subalit, dito makikita natin in verse 14 na opposite po yung ginawa ng mga Edomites na ito. Sabi dito, do not stand at the crossroads to cut off the fugitives. Do not hand over his survivors in the day of disaster. Now, this is the last movement na makikita po natin dito. From standing aloof, entering to the gates, and now, they went to the crossroads. Hindi po sa Crossroads Church Dubai. But, they stand sa mga important na mga exit points. Choking yung mga tumatakas. Instead of acting as a brother to Israel, they acted as vassals or military servicemen sa Babylon, handing over to them every Jew na nahuhuli nila. And it's like handing Israelites to their own death. Dahil sa ginawa nilang ito, they put a final stamp to their destruction. As they cut off their fleeing brothers and hand them over to Babylon, God, who is mightier than Babylon, has declared in verse 9 that Edom will be cut off by slaughter. Mga kaibigan, out of these passages of verses, pinapakita po sa atin dito ang multifaceted effects ng pride o ng kasalanan. It appears in the various forms and ways that apart from God's grace and wisdom, His grace and wisdom that is revealed in Christ and His Word, we become helpless, unable to free ourselves from the cycle and pattern po ng kasalanan. And it's deadly blows sa atin. Like Edom, apart from God or apart from Christ, we are also convinced in our hearts that we are self-sufficient and we are good. Like Edom, we believe na lahat po ng ating mga ginagawa ay tama. Like Edom, we falsely think that what matters in this life is to seek for our own glory. Friends, like Edom, we too are prideful. We are arrogant people. Our hearts and our minds are darkened so that we do not realize that our pride is causing already hurt, hindi lang sa ating sarili, but to people around us, to our community, to our church, and ultimately, to God. Like Edom, we too could not fulfill the commandments of God, no matter how good we think sa ating sarili. In God's eyes, and according to His revealed word, yung judgment po sa atin ng Diyos will always be the same. Guilty sinners. No one is righteous, as Romans 3:10 says. None is righteous, no, not one. At ang rightful judgment po ng Diyos sa atin is death. For the wages of sin is death. But, thanks be to God for our Lord Jesus Christ, who both fulfills the law and the prophets. Jesus, who is conceived by the Spirit and born by a virgin, a truly God and truly man, who lived a perfect, obedient life that none of us could. On the cross, Jesus took our sins on His body and died the death that we deserve. He died. He was buried. But on the third day, He was raised from the grave. It is a symbol that God has accepted the sacrifice of Him. He then ascended back into heaven and seated at the right hand of the Father, reigning and interceding for us. And this is what the gospel tells us, mga kaibigan, that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Unlike Edom, if you are in Christ, what you will receive is not judgment, but what you will receive is eternal life. Mga kaibigan, if you are here and you do not have a relationship sa kay Jesus Christ, and you're still trusting on your in the sufficiency of your strength, of your wisdom, I'll tell you, I cannot save you. Instead, I urge you to repent and come to Christ as Lord and Savior. Repent from your sins and turn to Him. And Crossroads, if we truly profess that we are followers of Jesus, then let us be our brother's keeper. Let us help one another in identifying the marks of pride and sin sa buhay na bawat isa. Let us help one another to grow in humility by depending on the grace that is already available in Christ. Let us remind one another of the gospel. Maibigan, ang solusyon po sa ating pride is not merely a shallow or outward humility. I will not ask you to be humble, because even our humility is stained by sin. But I will ask you to have a biblical humility. Enable for us to have that, and for that to happen, we must begin at the cross of Christ. Come to Christ. The righteous God exposes the sinfulness of human pride and judges it under His sovereign authority. Manalangin po tayo. O Lord, we thank You for revealing to us Christ and revealing to us our pride. Help us by Your grace, we'll be able to nail yung pride po namin at the cross of Christ and cling to Him daily. In His mighty name we pray. Amen.